Jacqueline Malcolm.
And I am your host, Jacqueline Malcolm. But more than that, yes, in the studio with me right now, wearing a very, 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 very big smile, which I love, we have Nina Christofferson.
Hello.
I'm really excited.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear.
I know. I mean, a mutual friend of ours, Namdi, coach, how everyone knows him by. Oh, great friend of ours, but he's a mutual friend, and he was like, you have got to meet Nina. She is a phenomenal, phenomenal person, but also a phenomenal singer, songwriter, actress. I mean, what are you not? Let's go through that. What don't you do?
Lots of things. You'll find out.
Road of
discovery.
Oh my God. So clearly you've kind of found a way to tap into your greatness, which... And you seem to own it. I mean, everything I've been reading about you, looking at you, you just shine your brilliance.
Oh, thank you so much.
Right? But no, you do. And I love seeing that. And especially in a black woman, you own it. Where did that come from?
You know what? It came from that search of needing and wanting to, not so much even belong, but just to have an identity where I could, you know, I could sing, I could act and everything. And I just wanted to push myself a little bit further than the average. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought, if I'm doing something, I actually want to be really excellent in whatever I do and bring a sort of sense of, not just identity, but just a sense of, as you said, brilliance to everything, to shine, to be glorified, to be, you know, a kind of body that people look at and think, I can do that, I love what she's doing, I want to be like that, and I want to have this kind of voice, be it singing or acting, that people could actually identify and love, and actually would like to come over, and then here I am, and then be able to sort of swing into my own identity.
I love that. I love that. I mean, one of them, we had a small technical issue there. So if you're wondering, oh, Nina's very, very quiet, it's because you were hearing it actually through my mic rather than her own mic. So sorry about that.
It's all sorted.
All sorted now, governor. All sorted now. But yeah, basically she had this, you were saying that you have this desire just to own who you are.
Yeah.
And which is a wonderful, wonderful strength to have.
Yes.
So what age did you discover it? Tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Are you kidding me? I mean, when I was a kid, I was just really, just pretty much out there.
Yes.
And really annoying my parents and saying, I want to sing, I want to act, you know. And I got bought a piano so I can play the piano as well.
Brilliant.
And yeah.
And from what age did you start learning?
Gosh, I think I was about, say, about 14, actually, starting
Brilliant.
On the piano.
So but, what age did you find your voice and realise that, wait a minute, this is me?
I think about 14, literally. Well, but you know, when you say voice, as in identity, who you are, and so forth, you're always on a discovery.
Yes.
You can never say, this is it, this is what I am. You're always growing, you're always mm-hmm. evolving, you're always learning. When I was a child, I thought, I want to be an actress, I want to sing. So I actually went to drama school. I went to Birmingham School Brilliant. Of Speech and Dramatic Arts, and I learnt to do lots of speeches, lots of, acting scenes. And from then on, I thought, you know what, I can do this. But I always wanted to go
to drama school because I wanted to train, because I thought right. that's the only way you could actually be good at doing whatever you wanted to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And so forth.
Exactly. So. And I love this. And here's what I love. It's like we meet so many young black girls who, like, from the age of 5 to 9, they have the shine that you have. They have this brilliance. They want to be on stage. They want to be, you know, front and center, present. And then knocks start happening. And then, you know, they realize that society, UK society, Western society, isn't so much designed for a young black woman. And you have to become something else. And you start to have to try and find a wiggle room space to fit in. And they lose their shine, and they lose a sense of belief in themselves.
That is true. That, you know what? I think that still is a problem, if I'm honest. And I think the only way around that is just to stay firm in your belief and in the knowledge that just because you're not accepted by the bigger audience doesn't mean to say there isn't an audience for you.
Exactly.
If you keep pushing forward and keep that excellence, somebody will actually say, you're good enough. Mm. I actually like what you're doing, and come on board with me. And then somebody else comes in, then somebody else. So it's a little building block. But it's true, you do get so many knocks and everything. Right. And that, I think that's what the training gives you. The training gives you the ability, the endurance to take those knocks. Because when you go through training, you know you're amongst your peers and everyone's good.
Yes.
Yeah? So you start that competitiveness from that early stage.
Right.
And the trick is you have to be able to have endurance.
Yes.
And if you don't, you, it's not going to be your game. And if you realise for every field, not just the arts, everything is about endurance and longevity.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, because, like, you could be good at business, but if you don't have that business acumen, if you haven't learned anything,
if you
can't endure that business surrounding, you're not going to last.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, and I think what we tend to do, and I'm probably guilty of that, you know, you look back in time and you think, well, that door should have been opened for me, you know, and it hasn't been. So what do? You sit back and give up, or do you just say, okay, that door hasn't opened, I'll create a door.
Right.
So I'm used to creating doors.
You do.
Yeah, where there's no door.
Exactly.
I think that's the way to do it.
Yes, but now that, in order to create your own door, you have to have such a deep belief in yourself. So is this a value that you learned from your parents, or is this something that you were just gifted with from the universe? I mean, where does that level of belief come from?
I think it's a combination of both. I'm incredibly spiritual, and I believe in
Brilliant.
God and Jesus, and I believe that what I have is a gift.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But my parents also believed in me, and they also gave me a lot of encouragement.
Mm.
And even if they didn't, I mean, I believed in myself, and I still do.
Right.
So even if somebody doesn't like what I do, I like what I do.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that gives you confidence. And I think that's what you've got to do. And you've got to go out to people who are better than you and actually see what they say and take advice. I mean, I have lessons. I also teach as well, and I give
Brilliant.
Lessons. So I'm always trying to improve myself. I never think
I've arrived.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's a horrible place to arrive, to reach. Because I really believe that if we get to that point where we say, oh, I've learned everything I need to learn, well, then you're kind of done on this earth. You may as well go to Mars.
Exactly.
Because what then are you going to, what have you got left to learn or give or share? Or you're just taking up space.
You are. And I think that's a kind of arrogance I would never want to have.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because you can learn from every situation.
Exactly.
Every new role you take on, you learn. And you learn from people around you.
Right.
There's always going to be somebody better than you. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. No.
Do you know what I mean?
That's it's not a wonderful a bad thing. Thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you can learn from what they do, how they actually approach something.
Right.
And you can adapt what you do and think, oh, okay, I like that. I can actually tweak that to make it my own.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's a good thing.
So it's not that you're copying, it's that you're learning from someone else.
That's it.
And then you're adapting it to, okay, now this is my expression of this.
Yeah.
Which is what stops you. I don't want to talk about your show yet, but it kind of stops you, doesn't it, from becoming like a caricature when you're doing your show of Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
It stops you from becoming a caricature of her. It then allows it to become its own show of Nina telling her story, even though you're singing all of her songs.
That's it. That's exactly it. So I take on her characteristics,
yeah,
rather than mimicking her. And I can do a great mimic, but I chose not to. I did it.
Brilliant.
I did a couple of things and a couple of shows where I was mimicking her. But you know what? As an artist, you don't grow and you get very bored. It's
right,
very
exactly.
stifling. Do you know what I mean? You can't grow if you're trying to copy every nuance of somebody else.
Exactly. It doesn't...
It doesn't infuse you. It doesn't excite you. So,
well, yeah. And I mean, yeah. We've already had her. We've already celebrated her. We've already loved her.
That's it.
And that's all you're doing is just sharing her story.
That's it.
But it's got to be you, right? We're there because we want to see Nina. We want to see your expression of Billie Holiday.
That's it. And that's the journey that everyone goes on. And that's what they buy into. The journey of Billie Holiday and my journey and how that's infused with great music.
Right.
Her music. How do you tell that story and keep it exciting? I mean, the script, the whole full show is fully scripted and it's 2 hours.
Wow. Did you write the script?
I did. I wrote the show. I wrote the show as well.
Amazing. I cannot wait to see it, but we're not going to talk about it yet.
No.
Don't go anywhere. Stay with us because you're going to hear all about the show and where you can go to see it. I literally cannot wait, you know, because you know when you're doing your research into the person, and so then you're watching the YouTube and you're watching everything, you're reading everything, and it's like, oh my god, I love her.
Oh, thank
honestly
you so much.
I felt like I was going to be meeting an old friend.
Oh
yeah, you're just so open and you shine. We had Andre de Shields, he's over in Hagerstown at the moment, and I had him on the show a few weeks ago. So he's a friend of mine from New York.
Wow.
And he was saying, because he's got this magic when he goes on the stage. And I asked him about that. And he was explaining that when he goes on, he brings the spirit of his parents. And then he brings the spirit of his grandparents. And he brings the spirit of his ancestors. So he recognizes what he has and walks in is his anointing. And it's, I feel the same with you. And it's very rarely that I meet someone who has that level of, I can only describe it as magic. You know what I mean? When they perform and just
magical.
Who they are.
It is
even
magical.
Just meeting you just now. And this is the first time we've met. There's something about you that oozes just this life.
So I'm electric.
You are, aren't you?
I am.
And
I'm
you
on fire.
Own it. You own it.
Because I like myself. I mean, I enjoy what I do. I absolutely love it.
Right.
And when you love what you do, you cannot but infuse and, you know,
exactly.
whatever you radiate is larger than you because it can't be contained.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
the beauty of it.
I think that is fantastic. So where do you see in your future? I mean, like, you've already been international. So I'm not going to go into age or anything, but you're clearly still young to be doing so much more things.
Yeah.
Where? Because you've done everything, you know what I mean? So what's next?
You know what? I haven't done everything. I've done a lot of things.
You've done a lot.
But you know what? What I would love to do is more TV, more film, go to Hollywood,
right.
of course, and then bring a bit of Hollywood back to the UK.
Oh, okay. In what sense? What part of Hollywood?
Well, because in the idea that, you know, a lot of films are made abroad and not actually in the UK because of the funding stream and everything.
Yeah.
If we could bring a little bit of that back to the UK, because the excellence and quality of work is fantastic here. The actors
yes.
are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Hollywood recognizes that and they actually scoop them up. So why
right.
can't we actually have the basis of the foundation of the machinery
yes.
also here? And we don't actually have that.
We don't have the
no.
million. They just pour billions,
exactly.
don't they? They
yeah.
literally just pour billions into anything.
And we have problems with sponsorship and everything and
yeah,
getting that on board. And that's what, you know, and if you sort of, it's that collaboration, that partnership.
Mm.
If you sort of partner with the right person, they would be keen
right.
on bringing that machinery here because it's an on-tap machinery
right.
and there's enough funding here.
Right, but now here's the big question, isn't it? Because especially because you produce and you write and you direct. Now, you've got things like Black Panther and we, you know, celebrated at last, Hollywood, yeah. it's all about black people. And yet when you looked at the people who were actually making the money... That was
so
a laugh.
That was so true.
But you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's from the white community. So come on. I mean, it's like, what needs to change in our industry for our own people to start actually making the money and then being able to invest the money?
I just think it's the mindset, because the money is here. We have the ability. We have the talent. The mindset is that we're not almost good enough. You know when you're saying that people don't actually do the journey, they give up because of the knocks. Mm. You know, in Hollywood, there's no such thing as anything that's negative. They learn how to turn
that
around.
There you go. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
We don't do that. We need to, anything that's not actually sort of immediately successful doesn't mean to say you kick it out. You rebrand, you reshape it.
Fine.
Do you know what I mean?
And then you keep going. No matter what, you keep going. And but yeah, we don't do that.
We don't do that. And they're good at doing that. They're good at bringing new writers on, reshaping, rebranding, bringing all the investment in. And we don't do that. It's a building block and we haven't started. And that annoys me, and we should have done.
We should.
And we need to start doing that and start collaborating and start investing on.
Right.
You know, and actually, there's not enough black people that actually come to the theatre, actually see.
No, works. We're always like in the 5%. When you go and see a really good piece and you're looking around 5%, if that.
If that. You're lucky if it's that.
Exactly.
When I was in town, one of the beautiful things about it, that about every denomination came to see the show.
Oh,
it was
brilliant.
Such a mixed cultural bag, and it was beautiful. And luckily, that because Billie Holiday has transcended race almost.
She really did.
So people came because of that, and then because the show was so good and everyone heard about it, then that spread the word and everything, and the great musicians that we had on board and everything, that actually helped as well, because music transcends everything.
No, it really, really does. So do you think that's what was Billie Holiday's success in being able to transcend? Because I can see that is your path as well, transcending
all
cultures. You don't want to be known as the black actress, you want to be known as Nina Christopherson, actress.
That's it. And that's how it should be. I want to be known for my talent and my abilities to be able to deliver, you know, whether it's my own show or work with somebody else, and be able to deliver a fantastic character, be able to sing through everything. And that's the interesting thing. If you're, this is what I'm not keen on, labels, because, you know, one minute, if you get labeled, then that kind of defines and shapes you, and it stops you from being like the leading actor, the character actor.
There you go,
the
love interest. Very true.
And you want to be able to do all of it, because we do in life, we do all of it.
Exactly.
Not just one element.
Yeah, no, very, very true. I mean, I say it all the time. It's like, you know, like a man can be the perfect father, but a terrible husband.
Yeah.
So it's like you weigh that up. You have to then say, well, you can't label someone, oh, he's just a bad man. Not when he's been a brilliant dad. He may be an awful husband, but a brilliant dad. So it's exactly that, isn't it? We don't want to keep labelling. Like, we don't want to start labelling you as, oh, yeah, no, she is Britain's black actress. Because then suddenly, oh, well, that means she only gets black roles.
That's right.
She doesn't get roles.
That's right. That's right.
Why do you only get black roles? I mean, it's ridiculous. This is something that we need to start really getting out of our psyche.
It really is. It really is. And it's that level of understanding. Mm. And if we don't, and it's that level of understanding and research. And if we don't research, and if we don't have enough role models that's actually lifted up, and we actually have to do that ourselves, and we have to lift each other up, and we're not doing that enough, because nobody else is going to do it for us. And if we don't, we're going to suffer, and we actually are paying a little bit of that price, actually. And hence why we have a lot of great artists who go away and go to America, because we haven't been able to elevate each other to the right level that we should do. And it's not just about black writers writing for each other. It's about great writing and about being able to play those roles.
Exactly.
Regardless. I mean, I played roles like Medea and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
Which is not necessarily for a black actress and everything.
Right.
And, you know, and you've got to be able to break through those barriers. I'm an opera singer as well, you know. So,
oh, my goodness. I didn't realise. I didn't mean that.
Yeah, you didn't
send me any of that information.
I didn't.
Are you fully trained, or is it just natural?
Yeah, I'm a trained opera singer as well. So, you know, I can sing Italian, and I, you know, and oh mio babino caro, mi piace bello bello, vuoi andare in Porta Rossa. So, you know, I can swing it, and then
oh
the
my
Spanish
gosh.
As well, and the French and so forth. And then so do you know what I mean? So I cannot be bottled.
Brilliant.
By anyone. You know, I can be bottled by myself.
Which you then refuse to do.
Exactly. And that's what we all have to do. We have to break out of that mindset that we are just one nucleus, one element. Because with the arts or anything we do, there's so many different layers. Mm. When one door closes, build something else.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't stay stagnant. Learn something else. Partner with somebody else.
Right.
Help somebody else out. And when you help somebody else, you learn as well, you know?
Right, exactly. You know? Absolutely. But, I mean, you alluded to it earlier that, you know, so many people from here, especially from the black community, they go to Hollywood and then suddenly they just take off.
Yeah.
Like Idris Elba. Yeah. I mean, like, here in Luther, he had really good roles, but it's not until really he went to Hollywood that he's now really the name.
That's right.
Are you going to follow that road?
Well, you know what? I've resisted it, but I may have to do that in order to get the kind of notoriety and the standing that I believe I deserve.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's not so much that the doors are shut. It's just that we are not elevating each other enough.
There you go.
We have to do it. We have to help each other
right.
in that regard and see the shows. If the show, my show has got award nominations, it's won awards. Do
right,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
5-star reviews, sold out, West End show. You know how difficult that is?
Right, exactly.
It's very, very rare.
And why isn't that being applauded more within our community and talked about more? And recognised yeah. more. Why not? Because we don't go to West End shows.
Yes. So
we don't
so people didn't know.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's this vicious kind of weird cycle.
Yeah.
So I guess it's... And I would absolutely encourage you to go to Hollywood and make it big there. Because I can see that you're going to do something slightly more with it. Because you see, most there are so very few positions for women of colour
yes.
in Hollywood. And, you know, so when you do get that gap, that niche, the tendency is then to hold on to it because you finally got it. And so you just want to, wait a minute, let me keep this for a moment. But we need someone to come back
yes.
and say, yes, okay, look, I've got it. The door's open. Come this way.
Yes.
Follow this road.
That's
this is,
right.
This is how you do it. But we keep losing them and they don't come back to us. So do you think there's a way you could find your way back?
Well, it's easy to find your way back because you just keep the door open. You just keep the conversation going both here
right.
and there. And
so then why don't they do that? Why do we lose them?
I think because the machinery is different. You can get swallowed up and the politics behind everything is different. That's what I mean. If we don't support each other here, you know, by the time you come back, what is there to come back to?
Right.
We actually have to look at that.
Oh, that's right. So that, yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
What they can't just come back just to try and help everyone else come in because then they will lose their spot.
Exactly.
So
we have to build. Wow. We have to build here as well. So when they do come back, they're coming back to something that's concrete.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, otherwise, when they come back, it's like they're almost having to start at the bottom. There's no real recognition for what they've
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, they're applauded and for their excellence and yeah. they're loved. And they come back here and they're, you know, what's next?
Right, exactly.
We can't have that.
And I mean, it goes across all industries. It's yeah. not just in the arts. I mean, my sister and her husband, they were solicitors here.
Uh-huh.
And they were constantly being told, they'd go to the big boys to try and get jobs there. And they were constantly told, oh no, you're the wrong colour. They'd literally be told,
wow.
You're the wrong colour. You're not going to fit in this firm. Sorry. So they went to America. Now they have a law firm with 23 staff, their own law firm.
Wow.
And that's how quickly they could set something up and turn it around. But if they came back here, they know, oh, they'd be starting again. Or they'd have to be setting up alone. And it's like, in a sense, it's good because it's bringing out the entrepreneurial side of us. It's making us have to do it for ourselves. But with that, there's the lack of funding, which is what you spoke about earlier. So how are we going to, I'm asking you all these questions like you have all the answers.
I don't know. I know you are. I know. But we're having a conversation.
We're having a conversation, right? And we recognise the frustrations on both sides.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop doing that to you, though. So let's talk about your show, because you are not all-knowing. You don't have all the answers to my questions.
No.
So let's talk about Billie Holiday.
Yes.
Why her? First of all, what made you want to tell her story?
You know what? I finished playing Medea, and it's part of this bigger discussion we're having.
Mm.
And then I thought, what's next?
Mm.
I did think, what's next? There was nothing. And so I put the call out to friends that I had abroad in Europe and everything. And I said, look, if I had a show, what would you do with it? And they said, well, we'd love to, you know, anything. Just just suggest. So I said, I've got a Billie Holiday's show that I, you know, was looking at and everything, and I'd like to sort of reinvent that. And they said, great. And then it was as simple as that, because I'd already worked with them. So they had the seal of approval.
Right.
Went to people that I know, and I know they love me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So they were already on board.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then we went to Edinburgh, and they introduced me to all the big sort of venues.
Fantastic.
And I pitched my show, and within minutes of pitching it, actually one line, they all said yes. So I had my choice of venue. It was amazing.
Fantastic. And this was back in 2014.
I know, 2011. This is how far the show goes back.
Brilliant.
And my Edinburgh venture was in 2011, my first time. Do you know what I mean? And they said yes, and I went with Assembly Rooms, who is...
Oh, that's huge. So the big boys.
Yep.
Well done for your first show. Awesome.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And they were brilliant. They were so good to me. And the show sold out. And brilliant. So by the time it was coming into the West End, it already had a pedigree.
Right.
It already had like a momentum.
Right.
And then it sold out again in the West End. And so it was brilliant. But word of mouth. I tell you,
yes.
It was word of mouth. We had posters everywhere, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the poster, the design was fantastic. The musicians were phenomenal. Mm. And then with the word of mouth, it sold out. And then I did a tour in 2014, a number one tour. That did brilliantly as well. So we scaled up and everything. And so the energy and the engine behind it has been really phenomenal.
Fantastic.
And then I did some concert versions of the show because not everyone could travel, and you know, people still wanted just to hear the songs and everything,
right.
And my interpretation of the songs, because the songs within the show and the story has layers and elements of the script within it.
Right.
So it makes it a real interesting reveal of who she is.
Right.
And her journey of discovery of love and pain and everything.
Right. So it must be a little bit even more intimate.
It's very intimate because you get to feel her soul of
right.
who she was and everything through her music and the discovery of that. And, you know, I mean, some people love, they come and see both the show, the full show, and the concert version. People keep coming back.
Brilliant.
Because they love the actual... the journey and how it taps into them and how it makes them feel. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's a great, great privilege and an honour to play Billie Holiday.
I can't wait.
I just feel so blessed.
What is it about her that you love? What is it about her character? Is there anything that if you were going to pinpoint something that you either most ID with or that you've learned about her that is not like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And I get it. It's made you understand her a little bit more.
It's not an easy answer.
That is not Italian.
No. But you know what? I think about understanding her, it is the fact that despite everything, despite all the drugs and the alcohol and the pain, she had a great sense of fun.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And she lived her life the way she wanted to.
Right.
Even though she was imprisoned a lot and all the rest of it. Outside of that, she did call her own shots. Outside of the pain of loves and everything, she did actually call her own shots. And she managed to get an identity that people loved. She was a fashion icon, you know, with a flower in her hair. The way she dressed her. She owned her.
Right.
Herself.
Right.
That sense of identity that we are all kind of struggling for, you know, she found that at an early age because of all the things she went through.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I would hate for anyone to have to go on her journey and then find themselves through that. However, whatever your journey is, you have to find a way to believe in yourself when nobody else believes in you. People who succeed, they go beyond the average idea
right.
of developing the through line of who they are because they know who they are. And it's pushing past all those no's. You speak to anyone who's successful, they'll tell you they've got a string of no's.
Yes.
And very few yeses.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I think our community, the minute we hear no, we say, that's it.
That's it. And we take that first no.
Yeah, we give up.
Yeah, it's
but,
true.
But other communities, they don't. They rally around each other. They find a way to sort of build each other up and push each other. You know, the Jewish community tell their children, oh, you're fantastic or brilliant. You know, everything that's positive a child needs to hear.
Yes.
They feed them that. And they never stop feeding them. So, you know, we need to do that. You know, we need to take the focus away from all the stripping away that we do to each other and the negativity that we put into each other and realize that negativity can easily be turned into positivity.
Yes.
And we can always look for the beauty in each other because there's so much. There's so much in all of us. Do you know
exactly.
What I mean? And
exactly.
That's to be celebrated. And that's what Billie Holiday managed to do despite everything.
Right.
She celebrated her voice. She got help by people like John Hammond who recognized the stylistic way she was delivering her music and everything. And he championed her and he introduced her to so many different bands and everything. She played with all the top bands basically.
Brilliant.
And that's how she learned her craft.
Isn't that awesome?
I wish we could all do that.
Right,
oh
right.
It
sounds
you.
Like you've really taken on a lot of her nuances and as in her approach to life and to your work and to your career.
I agree. And also, I approach my career and everything very much in the way that Americans do. Incredibly entrepreneurial. Every American person, no matter how big or small, they all believe in something. This is the land of
and it really is. Yeah, no,
do you know
it really
mean?
Is.
So there's nobody in America thinks they can't succeed.
Exactly.
Everyone is, you know, as I came in, somebody said, you know, are you on the hustle? And I was like, on the hustle? Am I hustling? You know what? Speak to Oprah. See what she says. Have you seen how she works?
Right.
She's
non-stop.
She's always introducing herself to new things, new elements, and she's constantly building.
Yes.
Because she knows, she understands the machinery. She understands who she is. You know, she went on that discovery and she's very open and vocal about her background and her life. And I guess she's done that so we can copy that.
Right.
That's like a template, like a blueprint, you know.
Exactly.
If she can do it, we can do it.
Exactly.
But the times are different, you know, to when she was creating things and everything, her opportunities. So many doors were closed to her.
Mm.
But, you know, there was a different movement. Nowadays, you have to be brilliant. She learned her trade on the go. Now you have to come in top.
Yes, you already
level.
Have to be brilliant. You already have to have a following and a fan base. You know what I mean? It's
ridiculous.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
It is all change.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, I teach, and some of my students are like, "Oh my god, how do I do this?" And I'm thinking, "Well, you know, this is how I did it." And then I think, "Oh my god, this is such a difficult thing to do to actually come in." High octane,
yes.
You know, the high level of excellence.
Yes.
And nobody sees the journey. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who does
yeah.
that? No business does that.
Exactly.
But yet, as an artist, you're expected to come in there at
yes.
that level.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And there should be platforms that we create. Okay, we have the Fringe Theatre and everything. And do you know what I mean? And we have, we have YouTube. We have the online stuff.
Yeah.
However, you have so much critique from every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
That's the problem. So, you know, there isn't a safe space to
exactly.
test your craft and to work on it and develop it and to get some gentle feedback. That's not out there. I mean, you can't even put a picture on Facebook anymore without someone somewhere is going to judge that and make a comment on that because they feel that they have the right to because somehow we've given everyone the right. It's like I do a bit of teaching. I take this course into University of East London.
Wonderful.
And there I ask them to write down 8 values that they bring to the table. And they all put their pens down and said, no, we can't do this. No, we haven't got any. I said, you're going to do it. And this is why you're going to do it. Because if I said to you, write 8 negative things about yourself, you would have filled a page. And they were like, oh my God, you're right. I guess now this is what society's done. We've made it easy for you to critique yourself and put yourself down, but very difficult for you to start praising yourself and to acknowledging your own greatness, which is what I love, the fact that you have that ability, which is something that we need to be able to take and bottle and put it out to all young black teenagers especially girls who are losing that ability to be able to own themselves and be proud of themselves.
That's
It's painful to see it.
It is hard to see because like they want that. They need that. They're
need
hungry
that.
For that.
Right.
That, you know, somebody, you know, who do I copy?
Yes. Who do can I look up to?
Yeah.
Who can I? So there you go. Look up to Nina Kristofferson.
Woo woo.
Find her and look up to her. This is how you do it. This is how you own yourself and are proud of yourself and walk in your own brilliance without being arrogant, right?
Yeah, without.
That's key.
Keep it humble.
Keep it humble and just keep it real. You just accept who you are and you just get on with it.
And keep working.
And keep working.
Keep trying to improve yourself and, you know, keep that excellence going and people will jump on board.
I love it. I love it. And right now we're meant to go to some music, but I'm not going to. You're okay to keep talking, aren't you?
I think so.
But it's already like 41. We've got like 10 minutes left of the show.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wow.
I know. So I've got to do some Jabba Talk questions.
Jabba.
Then we've got to talk about the show. So we're going to do the Jabba Talk questions first, and then right at the end, you'll tell us exactly where to go to buy tickets to come to see you. Okay, so you know how it works, people out there. We have the Jabba Talk 40 questions. Nina has not seen any of these. What happens is she picks a number between 1 to 40, and whatever number she picks, that is the question I ask her. Okay.
I'm so scared.
So, pick a number between 1 and 40.
5.
Number 5. Okay. If you were czar for the day, what 3 changes would you make to the world?
Oh my God. I won't finish that. What 3? Okay, first one, I would make it rule and a policy that we all say something loving to each other, a random stranger or anyone in your family or anything.
Lovely.
The second thing, I would actually try and rejig this economy that we have going on. Third one would be that I would try to sort of have a system where anything that's negative is put into a filter. I mean, come on, you guys with algorithms going out there.
Yeah,
it's
true. Right?
Find an app that we can actually turn something negative into a positive. And, you know, and then we feed that out to the wider
world. Oh, I love that. So we'd be living in a very, very positive energy, everyone on equal pay type world.
I wouldn't say equal pay. You have to earn it still.
Right.
I think that the idea of equality of that kind of thing is not a realistic thing because we have an inbuilt funnel within us where we all feel we're great.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And because we are all born great.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find that? Do you know what I mean? So we can we'll never all be on the same footing. However, we can all be loving.
No, we absolutely can. We absolutely can. I love it. Okay, you've got time for another question. Another number, please.
All right. 17.
Number 17. Okay. Which event in your life taught you the best lesson? What situation or what thing was it that gave you your aha moment?
My aha moment was when I went to Euphonia School of Music for the first time, and I was trying out to basically have some singing lessons. And I went with, I think it was about 4 of us, 4 girlfriends, and we all wanted to try out for this school, and it was the only school in the area that actually taught black girls and so forth. And we all went up one by one, and they all did something that was quite unique to them. And
right.
then it was my turn. And then when I went up, I sung a song, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember they laughed. That bit I remember. They all laughed. And I thought, oh my God. And I, you know, inside I thought, oh my God, it's really bad. And, you know, you get the sweat on, you think, oh,
right.
You know, and then I thought, I'm not good enough. And I wanted to go to drama school. In order to go to drama school, you have to do the entry. You have to do a speech, you have to dance, and you have to sing.
Right.
So me going to that school was really important because I needed to learn to sing to go to
exactly.
drama school. So they all laughed at me, and I thought, that's it. I'm not going to get in. And then he said and they were better than me, I thought. You know?
Right, right.
And he said, okay, I won't take any of you, I'll just take you. So I got chosen.
And do you think you got chosen because they laughed?
No.
Or because you had a uniqueness about you, your magic was already showing.
No, I was rubbish. I would like to say yes. I'd like to say yes. I was absolutely brilliant, but I was rubbish. However, he could hear something that I couldn't hear.
Brilliant.
Which is why it's always good to get others who of excellence to critique you, because they can see and hear in a different... Their tuning is far better than yours.
Right, right.
Do you know what I mean? And on every aspect, be it on singing or a business, the business acumen.
No, yeah, very sure.
And so he could see something and hear something. So, but I messed around. Not so much messed around. I like company. I'm bubbly. I like my friends. I like to hang out. So I wasn't practicing. And he got annoyed and he said, look, if you don't practice, you're out. And I thought, oh my God.
Wow.
He said, just promise me you'll do half an hour every day. And I thought, okay, I can do that. So
right.
I did. And half an hour every day gave me that big positioning, opened up my whole voice.
Brilliant.
I found my voice and I became chief chorister. And I
became, wow.
Yeah, I was lead in the choir and so forth.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. So that was my... aha moment.
Right.
Practice, be diligent, work hard, and
yeah.
The world is your oyster.
I love that. I love that, love that, love that. So when then did you go on to learn opera singing?
Well, from there, because in that sense, because when you're doing the choral work, you learn different elements of that. And then I went to drama school. When I was at drama school, I went to music school and studied, and I had lessons. And the wonderful Mary Hammond as well. She's still there. She's still there at Royal Academy of Music. She's created the musical theatre course there. It's a phenomenal place. I still have lessons with her now. And
oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And so she was part of the background of everything. But then also on my journey from drama school, I went to... after that and did some music, and that's how I found I could really kick it with the voice.
Wow.
On the opera too.
Is there any way we're gonna have a little taste of you today, just a cappella, off the cuff opera, or anything from this show? Just anything. You're free to say no. I don't want to put you on the spot, because I am putting you on the spot. I had no intention of asking you. No, I did. I had a plan to tell you, and I told them earlier I was going to ask. But you're free to say no without any judgment.
Do you know what I mean? I'm going to say no only because it's a terrible hour of the morning to be giving you anything like, then that God shall get... them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. So come on, check out the news. Come and see the show. It's at the Pheasantry.
Wow, wait a moment. That's beautiful. I was like, oh, she's singing. That's fantastic.
Segue in.
Love that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. I can't wait.
You're going to love it. It's a fantastic show.
Yes,
it
yes.
It really is. Do you know what I mean? It's full of lots of emotion, beautiful songs.
Yeah.
That she's written and others have written from the period and everything. It's just phenomenal.
I love it. So tell us now, where can we go to see the show?
Well, it's at the Pheasantry, which is on Sloane Square and King's Road, 152 King's Road. Mm-hmm. I've got it here so I don't stutter. Of course, SW34UT, and it's on the 28th of January. Doors open at 7 o'clock. The show is at 8:30. Tickets can be bought on 0845-602-017. And, if you go on my website or sort of find me at Nina's page on Twitter, just type in my name, Nina Christopherson, lots of stuff will come up, and the website, and you can get tickets from there as well. And
okay, fantastic. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. And it's a one day only event?
It is a one day only event. There'll be more coming up later on in the year.
Excellent.
More shows coming up later on in the year. And I've got, been doing some wonderful things like playing the voice of on a new game, Dalak and Faye. Yeah, Game of Death, and it's amazing.
Fantastic.
Silex Games, if you check them out, if you find me on my page, you'll find them as well. And the great thing is for a black artist to play one of the leading roles.
On a game,
it's unheard of.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's beautifully designed. You know, Jessica Saunders is the creator and everything, and she's just phenomenal. And she sought me out and asked me if I would actually put my voice on the game and everything. It's beautiful.
What a brilliant experience.
Very happy. So
oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
this
amazing.
Is awesome.
Seriously.
Oh, well, we're definitely going to be, we've got to be there on the 28th.
Yes.
And we just want to follow your journey wherever you go, because we do know Hollywood, of course, is going to be calling.
Yes.
But whilst we have you here, we want to celebrate you and thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for
having me. I know you have to really fit it into your schedule. So seriously, it means the world. It really means the world.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely enjoyed my time speaking to you.
Thank you. Good. We've learned so much. Oh, and the one thing I'm going to take away from this interview with Nina is please let your brilliance shine.
Yes.
Don't ever let anything put it out, and make that road for yourself. If no one else is getting a show for you at the moment, make your own show, because look where it's going to take you.
Seriously, I had no idea. Never let anyone put out your candle.
There. Said, done, sealed and delivered. Thank you very, very much, Nina.
Thank you.
Jacqueline Malcolm. Color.